Right, so let's get this started. Guys, just to let you know, I'm going to come down at the back just to let you know what I've put on the desk here is a little worksheet for you guys. Now, what I'm going to do now is called preaching. Now, what preaching is, if you remember in the Bible, Moses goes up the mountain and then he comes down and he tells the people what God has said. Now, I've been up God's mountain. We can all go up God's mountain. Today's my turn to tell you what I believe God has said up the mountain. Okay, so that's what's happening. That's why I'm up there doing stuff, moving, wiping my brow. Sometimes I'll do something different. I might even wear another curtain for a shirt sometime. But that's what I'm doing up there, okay? So what I believe God is going to do, he's going to bring his glory down upon you and he's going to give you things to say. Now, I can see, Gabby, God has already shown you something. You've drawn a heart because God is love. That's what we're looking for, okay? God's going to speak to you. Write anything down and draw any pictures, or if anything comes to your heart, you're going to get a chance to share that at the end, okay? So that's what's happening here. That's why you are part of this, okay? You're not separate. So what we're doing is talking about church culture. Now, for the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about church culture. When I talk about church, I'm talking about us as people. Okay? So church is not primarily the building or a Sunday morning activity. Church is people. And church culture is how we as God's people are expected to behave. Okay? And in the Bible, they have something called the each other's. It's love each other, accept each other, forgive each other, counsel each other, encourage each other. And there are many more each others, but I felt the Lord impressed these five on my heart to share over the next few weeks. And if you remember, my illustration was so good, I want to use it again. If you remember, I talked about the sun. Now, about vitamin D. And everyone talks about vitamin D up here, don't they? Even down south they talk about it. Basically, what happens is, I used to think that the sun gave me vitamin D. But what happens is the sun shines on you, causes a reaction in your body that creates vitamin D within you. Okay? So that's what happens. When you sit in the sun, the rays come and cause a reaction within your body that creates vitamin D. And that's a natural process created by God. And I'd like to suggest that spiritually, when we look at the sun, his Holy Spirit causes a reaction in us that causes us to love. So this is not a moralistic command to do without God. This is God's will for us in Christ Jesus, but he gives us the empowerment to do it. He's the one who causes us to do it. So we're not trying to love. We're not trying to forgive. We're looking at Jesus, and his Holy Spirit is causing us to do these things. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at Jesus. And my prayer is that as we do, you will understand and experience God's acceptance. Because this week we're talking about accept. Accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I'm just going to grab my water. Romans chapter 15. So we're going to look at Jesus. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 13. I'm going to read this. It says, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome or accept one another as Christ has accepted you, has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, and him will the Gentiles hope. That's talking about Jesus. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And the first thing to recognise in this passage is that Jesus doesn't please himself. This is really radical, isn't it? In today's society, we're looking at Jesus. Jesus is our example. It says, Jesus did not please himself. This is huge. This is a very different perspective for what many of us have grown up in, outside in the world, as it were. We've grown up to think of ourselves first. From the fall of man, it's about us, it's selfishness. How many times have we heard that phrase, well, please yourself. I'm just going to please myself. Now, Christ, as we look at him, he does not please himself. This is amazing. Because this is different. But the thing is, if he didn't please himself, then who did he please? He didn't please himself, but he pleased his Father. Jesus was totally committed to pleasing the Father. His desire was to please the Father above his own will. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the Father. My food is to do the will of the Father. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I first see my Father doing it. So Jesus is not only not pleasing himself, his desire was to please the Father. Not only was it his desire to please the Father, it was his desire to please the Father, and his desire to please the Father was his pleasure. He was pleased to do the desire of the Father. He was pleased not to please himself, but to please his Father. Jesus said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Where was Jesus' heart? In the Father. He said, the Father and I are one. Where was his treasure? In the Father. Where is his Father? In heaven. Jesus' focus and delight was to do the will of the Father who is in heaven. His delight and pleasure was actually doing what his Father wanted. In Jesus' humanity, he emptied himself, as it says in Philippians 2, and he humbled himself and just did everything the Father wanted him to do. He didn't please himself. He didn't follow human desires. He was completely and utterly at the will of the Father. And he absolutely loved to do his Father's will. He loved it. He loved to do the Father's will. Christ didn't please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So what did the Father want for Jesus? So if Jesus is not pleasing himself, he's pleasing the Father. So what was the Father's will for Jesus? The prophet Isaiah said that it was God's will, the Father's will, to crush Jesus. That's what the Bible says. It was the Father's will to crush Jesus. In Isaiah 53 verse 10 it says, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life as an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. So what is happening here? If Jesus doesn't want to please himself, he wants to please the Father. Okay, Father, what's your will for me? My will for you, son, is to be crushed. It was Jesus' will to be crushed because it was his pleasure to do the Father's will. Christ did not please himself, but he took pleasure in doing the will of the Father, and he ends up crushed on the cross. But here's the thing, what it says in that scripture, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. The Father was crushing the Son to open up us to Jesus. The joy that was set before him is what enabled him to endure the cross. So the Father crushes Jesus on the cross. Jesus is completely surrendered to the will of the Father. He's crushed on the cross, and what opens up to him is his offspring. Jesus is the firstborn of many. Jesus is on the cross seeing us. The joy set before him. He saw you, Les, while he was on the cross. He saw you, John. He saw you, Bernadette. He saw you, he saw all of us. On the cross, he saw us. His offspring was opened up to him. Now you're thinking, okay, this is why I follow the will of my Father. What's happening? I'm seeing into the reality of heaven. I'm seeing into the reality of the future because the Father has crushed me. Why is he crushing me? Because I can see my offspring, because I can see my family. And the Father knew that unless Jesus was crushed, that could never happen. We couldn't come to the Father unless the Son was crushed. For the door to be open for us to be there, because we were fallen, we were sinful. Jesus had to make the way. The Father wanted Jesus crushed that the reality of us and Jesus might be open to Jesus. Jesus had to be crushed because we were fallen, we were sinful, we were depraved. But he had to be crushed so we could have life in him. And as I was praying over this, I felt the Lord give me a picture of Jesus on the cross, and I'm on my knees looking up at Jesus, and Jesus is there, and it's because it says the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. So I felt the Lord saying the disapproving voices over your life have fallen on Jesus. The disapproving voices of your life have fallen on Jesus. I'm taking the disapproval, says Jesus. And I saw this picture of him on the cross, and there's loads of horrible things behind him shouting at me and saying, you're not worth it. You can't make it. You're not loved. You're not forgiven. You're not encouraged. There's no wisdom here for you. And Jesus is holding these back and saying, no, look at me. I was crushed so you could look at me. I was crushed so you can hear my voice. And if only we would still ourselves in front of Jesus enough, the voices of disapproval would be crushed by Jesus. And we would hear his voice of acceptance that says, look at me. I accept you. Look what I'm doing. I'm doing the Father's will so you might see that I'm accepting you, I'm inviting you, I love you, I want you. I've followed the Father's will. The voices of disapproving who you are crushed by what Christ has done. When you look at him, I'm not talking about correction of sin and correction of inappropriate behaviour. I'm talking about the voices and memories that you have and I have that say you're not worth anything. You can't make it. You're not worthy to be in my family. God doesn't love you. God doesn't accept you. Those voices are crushed when you look at Jesus and you look at this amazing divine plan that was devised in eternity, before the creation of the world, where the Father said, you know, if you are going to have these people, you are going to have to be crushed. And Jesus says, I will. Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus stands in front of the voices. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness. Jesus stands in front of the voices of anti-Semitism and says, come home to me. Jesus stands in front of the voices that tell us, any of us, Gentiles, non-Jews, that you're not belonging in God's plan. You're not part of Abraham's family. He says, no, come home. I want all of you. In Christ there is no Jew or Gentile. It means we're all welcome in because of what Christ has done on the cross. That's what he's talking about here. Rejoice, O Gentiles. Praise the Lord, O you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. The root of Jesse will come, even he who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. So when you look at Jesus, every voice is silenced. He's holding them back, saying, voices of disapproval. No, you're welcome in my family. Verse 7 says, therefore accept one another, or welcome one another, as Christ has accepted you for the glory of God. Jesus is saying, I will do whatever it takes to be with them, Father. I will do whatever it takes to open the door to the body of Christ to know us for all eternity. I will do whatever it takes. The Father again says, it will take you being crushed. And Jesus says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Because it's going to hurt to be crushed. Father, it's your will for me to be crushed. It's going to hurt. It's going to be horrible. I'm going to take all the sins of the world on me. Yet. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The Bible says, for he made him who knew no sin to become sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Who's he? For he made him who knew no sin. Jesus had no sin. The Father made Jesus who knew no sin to become sin that we might become the righteousness of God. That was the crushing, that sin was being crushed on the cross in Christ. And it hurt. I can't imagine the torment just physically being crushed on the cross, but spiritually as well, to take all the sins, all the disgusting decisions, all the horrendous things we've done, all the horrendous things we've thought, all the horrendous things we're going to say and going to do. And Jesus took the lot, all of it, so his offspring could be opened up to him. That's you and I. This is good news. It's sometimes uncomfortable, isn't it, to imagine the Father and the Son coming to an end, so you're going to be crushed, and then Jesus being crushed for all our mess, and then to think that it was God's will to do that. It's not easy to comprehend. It's not sugar-coated Christianity, is it? This is raw, cutting-edge gospel news that the Father willed to crush the Son, to open up the reality of what was in front of him. The joy that was set before him helped him endure the cross. The joy of eternity was set before him. And he didn't come down because he knew if he came down, it was over and he wouldn't see us with him. But he didn't come down. He stayed up there. He died. He took the crushing. And the thing about crushing is, when something, if you think about grapes, grapes are crushed. Why are they crushed? For new wine. Jesus was crushed for the new wine. You and I get crushed by the Father at times for new wine. In the crushing, there is new wine. The finest part of the grape is after the crushing. When we're being crushed, it's horrible. It's not good in our head. But if we say, Father, your will be done, what is happening here, I don't know. But I'm looking forward to the fine wine. The fine wine in this life in the land of the living, and the fine wine in eternity that never runs out. That we can't even imagine how amazing that's going to be. You see, these kinds of things I find are uncomfortable to understand, that we sing about the Father's love, and the Father has love, He is love. And yet there was something done between the Father and the Son, where the Father had His Son crushed so the offspring could be opened up, that we, the body of Christ, would see, He would see the body of Christ, He would see His inheritance, the firstborn of many, He would see us. He would see the reality of eternity. So we need Holy Spirit to understand these things. God knew this was going to be hard. The Father knew this was going to be hard. The Father knew that our lives were going to be hard. Not just to comprehend this stuff. He knew that we would suffer. He knew that we would have challenges. He knew, so He sent the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. That you may abound in hope. And the Holy Spirit, He's a companion. That word paraclete suggests somebody coming alongside. A friend. A helper. The Holy Spirit is our friend. And the Holy Spirit's real. Holy Spirit. So that verse we're looking at today, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. For the glory of God. God is glorified when we look at Jesus on the cross. God is glorified when we comprehend the Father's will was to crush the Son that we might have life. And have it in abundance, that we might have Holy Spirit. When Jesus left, He went up. The amazing exit to heaven, where He just floated up. I mean, we often say things like, I just want the Bible in church, I just want Scripture. Imagine some of us started floating like that. It's like, well, you have, it's the Bible. He goes up and then He sends the Holy Spirit down. You and I have the Holy Spirit. God is glorified when we see Jesus was crushed, not only for us, but for our brothers and sisters. You see, Jesus wasn't only just crushed for you. He was crushed for the person next to you. In here. He was crushed for the person that you're finding hard to accept. That's one of the ways that I find the Lord leads you into accepting other people. As you look at them and you see that it's not only me, Paul Riley, seeing this picture of Jesus holding back all the disapproving voices. It's also everybody else here. He's shielding all of us from the disapproving voices. Accept one another as Christ has accepted you. He's shielding you from the disapproving voices. He's shielding you from the voices that tell you no, you're not going to make it. You're not loved by Christ. You're not accepted by Christ. He's shielding your brother from those things too. He's shielding your sister from those things too. He came that He might see all of us, His whole offspring, it's all of us. So when we see what Christ has done for us on a personal level, it has to become corporate. The perspective cannot be just as a, it is a personal thing, but it can't just stay there, because then, well, Christ has accepted me now. But what they've done has crossed the line. That doesn't make sense, does it? We cannot receive this for ourselves, Christ's acceptance, and then expect other people to have a different boundary. Because all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, there aren't any boundaries. None of us deserved it. We were all lost. We were all depraved. None of us were deserving of anything. yet Christ came and made us, made it the reality that we would be in fellowship with him. And not just for you as an individual, but for your brother and your sister. And I pray Holy Spirit would cause you to receive your acceptance. But also Holy Spirit would cause you to see that those who don't see the same things as you, those who don't like the same things as you, or doing things that are finding it hard, it's finding hard for you to accept, they too were on Jesus' mind when he was crushed. I believe that when we gaze into these things, the glory of God is made manifest. And his glory, that word means the weight of his presence. God, we just love you. Father, we worship you. We welcome the weight of your presence in here. When you look at Jesus, God is glorified. We worship you, Jesus. And when the weight of his glory is made manifest, it crushes voices of disapproval. When God's glory is made manifest, it crushes voices that say you are not accepted by Jesus. Crushes voices that say you are not welcome in the body of Christ. It's the weight of his glory that does that as we look upon Jesus. You cannot make yourself know that you're accepted in Christ. We have to have Holy Spirit. He is the presence of God. I can't simply say to you, you are accepted in Christ. If Holy Spirit's not behind that, it's just information. It has to be made manifest in your heart. And my prayer for you this morning, for all of us here in this building, is that every single heart would know that Jesus was crushed that they might have life. And through the crushing of Christ, every disapproving voice is crushed. And also every disapproving voice of their brother and sister is crushed. And this is for new wine. This is for new glory. This is for new presence. This is for more of Christ. You see, when the weight of God's glory falls on you, you can't help but accept others as Christ accepts you. You're so overwhelmed by his love. You're so overwhelmed by his acceptance. You're so overwhelmed by his forgiveness. You're so overwhelmed by his wisdom and his encouragement. You're so overwhelmed by him because the person of Christ embodies all these things. It's not which part of Jesus am I going to get today. It's Jesus brings all of it. Jesus definitely impresses certain aspects of him on us, specific aspects from time to time. But when you meet Jesus, when you get a touch of the weight of his glory, of his presence, when you engage in Jesus, when he touches you by his Holy Spirit, all of these things become a reality at once. It's all found in Jesus. It's all found in Jesus. He made a way. He made a way for you and I to live in the reality of his acceptance. He made a way for you and I to live in the reality of acceptance, of his acceptance, which causes us to accept others. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The
And Lord, I pray the weight of your glory to manifest in this place. Lord, I pray that your presence would soak into souls, soak into broken souls, soak into souls that have been damaged by disapproving voices, souls that are damaged by disapproving voices of memories. Father, I pray this place will be a place where your glory dwells, where your presence dwells, where people taste Jesus just by being here. And also I pray, Lord, as we are the church, that your glory would rest upon every heart in this building. And as we go out, Lord, as we face the day, Lord, we would be carriers of your presence. We would be carriers of those who know that Christ is our protection, who know that Christ got crushed so we could see Christ, and that it led to the Father whose will it was to crush him, that we could all spend eternity worshipping Jesus.